We did want to take a look at kind of where the transfer portal rankings are right now in relation to how Texas finished and how Texas fared in terms of what the Longhorns got out of the transfer portal in this talent acquisition cycle. Snoop is what I'm calling it. I don't think you can call it a recruiting cycle anymore. I think it's just a talent acquisition cycle, especially because when at 24/7 Sports, we're no longer doing class rankings. We're including transfers in the class rankings now, which is something that I think you have to do at this point. But our transfer portal rankings in terms of the top prospects in the portal are done at 24/7 Sports. Quinn Ewers is the highest ranked transfer for Texas at number 2 overall. Only Caleb Williams was ranked higher as a transfer prospect.
Is he better
than Quinn Ewers? Is Caleb Williams better than Quinn Ewers? I mean, that's a relative question. It's all relative. I just think the only knock on Quinn at this point is he hasn't thrown a pass at the collegiate level yet. He played in one game for Ohio State last year, didn't throw a pass. So that's the only thing you can say about Quinn that you can knock him for. Look, you saw it in the spring game, Snoop. We saw it in the little glimpses. We got to see what the eye test showed us. Got to see it a little bit from really hearing about it and then seeing a little bit of the practice clips that would come out, hearing about it from sources that were at practice. The arm talent is undeniable. The natural talent he's got is undeniable, whether Snoop trolls him on Twitter or not. But Quinn Ewers can sling the rock. And just in terms of the natural arm talent, like I said, I haven't seen that many guys in this state since I've been following this stuff that I would compare him to. Like Matthew Stafford, Kyler Murray was different, but some of the same just kind of wow you ability. I mean, it's really not just the ability to rip it and make all the throws, but to make the off-platform throws, throw from different arm angles. It's very – I'm not comparing him to this guy, but it is – it's very Mahomes-like how he can manipulate his arm to make certain throws. So Quinn Ewers, again, at 24/7 Sports, ranked the number 2 overall prospect in the transfer portal in the cycle. Isaiah Nayer coming in at number 20. Again, you talk about a guy that had a heck of a spring, a guy that, you know, came in with some hype, with some promise that really seemed to deliver in his first spring on campus. Jaleel Billingsley coming in at number 24. Ajay Hall at number 95 overall. And again, I think a lot of the rumor and innuendo that was much ado about nothing last week, that has been put to rest for Ajay Hall. He'll be on campus when everybody else starts summer conditioning next week. Ryan Watts, the Ohio State cornerback transfer, coming in at number 112. Those are your top Longhorns in the transfer portal. So you got 4 in the top 100. I'll remind everybody. You look at the transfer portal haul last season. We did the same transfer portal rankings at 24/7 Sports. All those portal guys Texas took last year, they had one ranked in the top 100, and that was Keelan Robinson. That was it. All those guys they took on defense, the edge guys, whatever, one guy ranked in the top 100, and that was Keelan Robinson. And you go back to the Texas Fight Tour stops that Sark made, and in relation to this question, this cut we're about to play, he was asked about Jordan Addison. Now, obviously, at the time, since Jordan Addison was still a recruitable student athlete, hadn't signed any kind of paperwork or anything, he could not mention Jordan Addison by name. But he was asked just about the urgency to win and what that does in terms of how you build your roster and what you look for. And I think this speaks to the job this staff did in terms of being much better in the portal this cycle than they were last cycle.
Yeah, we want to win now. We think we've got a good football team. We're always trying to make it better in every facet and every way that we can. I'm never trying to settle like we're good. Every day I wake up thinking, is there a better way we can do something? If that's enhancing our roster, if that's skill development, if that's scheme, whatever that is, with new rules, is there ways to take advantage of that to put our team in the best position to have success? And I believe we can win now. I think we've got a good football team. Got a lot of work to do still. But whether, like I said, whether through recruiting and enhancing the roster, through scheme, through development, through culture, whatever that is, to put ourselves in the best position to have success.
I think there's a couple of things to look at when you look at why Texas was more successful in the portal this year. I think it does start with Sark not leaving anything to chance and doing whatever it takes to make sure you're beefing things up at all positions. And look no further than quarterback. Like, I could be off, but I really believe this. Texas could have kept Casey Thompson, like not gone after Quinn Ewers, just brought back Casey Thompson, let he and Hudson Card battle out. And I think you would have been fine at the quarterback position in 2022. Sark clearly was not content with fine. He wants to be elite at that position. And if you want to be elite, you go out and you get you a guy like Quinn Ewers to come in and compete with Hudson Card. Because one of two things is going to happen, Snoop. Either Quinn Ewers is going to rise to his talent level, and you have, at that point, a legitimate franchise-type quarterback who should be a high pick in the NFL draft, or he comes in and competes with Hudson Card, and Hudson Card raises his level of play to such a level that you say, you know, the combination of experience and his development, man, you have to go with that guy to be your QB1. So adding elite talent to the mix, it's almost a no-brainer situation. Like, it sounds simple, but it almost is a no-brainer. Now, there are other things Sark has to consider, which when we talk, like we talked about with the wide receiver dynamic, right, with Tariq Milton, you don't have those same questions about Tariq Milton, at least from what I've heard from an Iowa State source this morning. You don't worry about the locker room stuff. You don't worry about him being a good dude, a guy that you want around your team. You don't worry about him. You don't have those concerns about him as much as you have, say, with a guy like a Jai Hall. There's a lot of rumored innuendo following him from his exit at Alabama. But I think this boils down to, if you're going to add these really talented guys, and we saw Mac Brown make these mistakes, we saw Charlie Strong make these mistakes, and ultimately we saw Tom Herman make these mistakes. When you get into a situation where you feel like the urgency is high and you've got to win, you can't add elite talent if it means sacrificing culture and sacrificing what you're trying to build and sacrificing something that you're trying to build that's got some staying power. So I say all that to say this: they have done a better job of adding elite talent. But Sark really has to be a believer in the guys that left the program after the 2021 season. Some of those guys that they talked about, hey, maybe guys, some guys don't need to be there. Maybe some guys didn't want to be there. Some guys are just hanging on. You have to hope you got enough of those bad apples out and you've got enough good apples that really, truly believe in what you're doing, that guys coming into this program, the ultra-talented guys, that you're not sure 100% where they fit in terms of the culture you're trying to build. You got to make sure your culture is right. And I feel like at least the hope for a Texas fan should be Sark feels that good about the culture. It doesn't matter whatever question marks a guy might have. They're just so talented. They're going to help build your roster the right way. I think, too, so the ability to go out, identify and recruit and land elite talent is part of it. I think the other part of why this staff has been so much better in the portal is simple. They're a year into this. They've got a much better feel for what their roster looks like. You know, at this point in time last year, I think the guys they brought in at those edge positions, I think, are a perfect example. They just knew they needed bodies. At inside linebacker, adding a guy like Devin Richardson, like, they just knew they needed bodies. And at the time, I felt like, look, you're kind of doing this thing on the fly. You're kind of doing the best you can. You'd like for a staff not to reach for guys with the initial counter situation being the way it is, and you don't get scholarships back, and you got to treat those like precious commodities. That won't be the case starting with the new academic year when the initial counter limits go away and all you've got to do is worry about managing the 85 like we've talked about. But Sark has a much better handle, and the coaching staff has a much better handle on this roster and actually what they need, the kind of fits for the kind of style of football they want to play. They've got a much better handle on that. So the situations have been conducive to them being able to be more successful in the portal. But the big question I have in terms of adding portal guys, are you adding guys that are not going to be a detriment? They can be a net positive in terms of the culture you're trying to build and not be a detriment to what you're trying to build. Because the last thing you can afford to do in terms of that culture, and culture is one of those, we talked about it a lot this offseason, Snoop. I used to think it was one of those things that foolishly thought, man, at some point you just get to a point where you don't worry about that as a coaching staff anymore. No. I think culture is one of those things that it is constantly evolving. It is a unique organism that really, once you stop worrying about culture, is usually the minute you have to start worrying about it again. It's a constantly evolving thing. And I think if Sark looks at it from that standpoint, then you're always constantly working on the culture and you never stop working on the culture. You can afford to bring in guys that are just uber talented. And I don't want to say not necessarily not worry about how they fit, but you feel like there's enough good around them that eventually the cream will rise to the top. So much better job for Texas in the portal this year than last year. Obviously, we'll continue to talk about it. They got some areas where they're still looking to address, inside linebacker being one of those. They've got some areas they weren't able to address, like edge rusher. But overall, you get you an elite quarterback prospect. You get you an elite receiver. You get you a tight end. you get you a guy in Ryan Watts who's going to be a starting corner, and then not a guy in the top 100, but you get you a guy in Tariq Milton like we talked about in the first hour. Worst case scenario, he's a good locker room guy who can be a nice buffer between just for this season before you can figure out the younger guys you've got on the roster, what you've got there. Or best case scenario, you get the Tariq Milton you got in 2019 at Iowa State, and you've got a group of four receivers that are going to be as good as maybe anybody else in the country could put on the field. We'll see what happens. But we'll continue to talk Texas football. But coming up next, it is our Flex 30 segment coming up where we will get into some high school sports across the area with Snoop. We'll do that when we come back online at the Tower on the Horn, live, local, and digital on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.
Shirts and skins.
They had their six-year-old run a marathon with them. Here's the thing. They have researched cortisol levels. Cortisol is a stress hormone in the body. It releases when you're...
This world I have in this world I have in I have in I have in this world I have in I have in
Like the Tower with Craig Webb, Jeff Howe, and Snoop Daniel.
So real quick on the Specs text line, somebody said the Golden Spikes Award will be presented on June 24th. Yeah, somebody's asking when the finalists or the semifinals will be released. I don't know, and I didn't look it up during the break, so my apologies for that. Yes, that's when the award's going to be handed out, but the question was, when are the finalists or whatever?
To Ivan Melendez. So he needs one more to pass Kyle Russell, or so he's tied?
He's tied right now.
28.
The next home run he hits, he will break the record.
Right. And Craig Way revealed that he does not have a stock call for the reaction.
No.
He's just going to call
and I appreciate that from Craig. I appreciate that Craig's calls are organic. Like, he's talked about that a lot. I just appreciate that Craig doesn't have something in the can ready to go.
He unleashed that. That's why. My play-by-play. You know, I can do play-by-play. That's how I got started in high school sports, was KMAC Sports, which is now Vipe back in the day, and KDRP, which is now Sun Radio. I did Westlake football first. What a hell of a first football gig to do. And a great place to make mistakes and people let you know about it. So that really melted my metal. And then and Dripping Springs, they were terrible when I was calling them. So
it's a great thing about doing community newspapers or community radio, Snoop. Mm-hmm. You can make all the mistakes you want and not really a lot of consequences for that.
Yeah. Well, your feelings.
But who else are they going to get to do the job?
Yeah.
True. Apparently, the semifinalists for the Golden Spikes Award will be announced today at some point. Okay. So, just keep an eye out for that. That's one of the several National Player of the Year awards Ivan Melendez is going to be up for. But right now, it's time for our Flex 30 segment.
Flex ATX for the best high school sports coverage. Listen to the Horn and go to FLXATX.com.
It's all you, Snoop.
Oh, it is? Okay. Well, news that broke late last night. The Westwood State Qualifying Tournament, the kids call it the SQTs. The whole Horn staff was at the Lake Travis SQT last week. Originally, it was going to be on two campuses, and now it's all on one. Coach Wood messaged me last night. The entire thing will take place on Cedar Ridge High School football campus. They have an incredible double field on campus, so they will be able. You're going to see 16 teams within like 300 yards. It's going to look insane. I wish I had a drone. I don't have a drone yet. One day I will. But it's going to be madness. If you want to come out and watch some of the most elite skill players in the Austin area, you see their faces and all, sling it. This Saturday starting at 8:30, come to Cedar Ridge High School campus. You can check out so many teams. Check out all 16 teams at flexatx.com. By the way, Lake Travis and Westwood are participating in the tournament, but they cannot advance because they already qualified for the tournaments last week. So that means that two of the pools will have just better odds of advancing. And that really bodes well for Hutto, which is in the Lake Travis bracket, because Hutto only lost to LT by 6 points last week for their chance to try to go to the semifinals. So Hutto is an annual College Station goer. They always have great skill players. Will Hammond is really a quarterback to watch. And I would say out of the class of 2024 quarterbacks, he is probably the sleeper of them all, because I don't think he has that big eye-popping offer as of yet. But watch for Will Hammond. He's going to be special. So baseball playoffs, they aren't today. They start on Thursday, actually. for baseball, we only have one 6A team left. That would be the Lake Travis Cavaliers. They play now that Craig Way has righted my ship, the La Jolla Coyotes. Not the La Jolla Coyotes. La Jolla Coyotes. And that game is going to be played at Sinton High School. La Jolla apparently is red hot, but LT, you know, they have the pedigree. They went to state 2 years ago.
Is it Sinton is where that game is?
It's at Sinton High School, yeah.
Home of Adrian Alanis, lifetime Longhorn.
Adrian Alanis. That's a name I hadn't heard in a minute. But, yeah, so that's happening. And then you got, let me make sure I get everything right, your Georgetown Eagles also in the playoffs, as well as Dubuque Johnson Jaguars. And big shout-out to them, Concordia University got that 4-0 win. Hal Templeton completely shut out Cedar Park. The lefty got something going. They will be playing, let me make sure I get this right, at Cannabis. It ain't Cannabis, let me tell you, because I made that mistake. And on Twitter, they're like, yo, y'all going to Cannabis Field, huh?
It one heck of an interesting sponsorship for a high school baseball facility.
Hey, man, if they're going to bring NIL, who knows? Kids sponsoring Cabinets. I'm not going to even go there. But yeah, that actually starts on May 26th as well. Georgetown taking on Corpus Christi Ray. That's a little closer to home. It's in San Antonio's Northeast Sports Athletic Complex. That starts on Thursday as well. Lago Vista, I'm showing you love, but I do not, for the life of me, I cannot find where y'all are playing. I know you're playing Corpus Christi London. Hit your boy up, please. As far as our girls are concerned, Georgetown, the same Georgetown squad that made it to the state tournament last year, they're right back. They're playing Corpus Christi, Flower Bluff. Corpus Christi is another school. That's another town in Texas. But, yeah, so if they win that one, they'll go back to, what is the field that the Texas softball, is it Littlefield? What do you call that?
Texas thing? Softball?
Yeah.
McCombs,
duh. They'll be at McCombs. If they win, it's a one-game series. By the way, Issa Torres, their star second baseman, she decommitted from the Aggies, where Texas A&M Aggies, where her sister plays, and she just visited Duke yesterday.
So, oh, because they just had a coaching change.
So she's treading the way. That girl is awesome, and she's just a junior. Last but not least, Thorndale, a salute to y'all. I don't have the info. Sorry, but I am showing that I am aware that Thorndale softball is still in the playoffs. The boys lost a heartbreaker to Shiner the week prior, so Thorndale represent, and that's your Flex 30 update.
And that'll be our last Flex update until Thursday, since we have no show tomorrow.
Maybe I'll go see Doctor Strange again, because I love that movie.
Again?
So, did you see it? You deserve to. You'll love it. I swear you will love it.
Here's my thing with the Marvel movies now. Are these like canon, or are they like one's having to do with the other? Do I have to watch them?
No. This one is so wild and multi. It's called the Multiverse Madness. And you can just sit down and watch it alone and you'll thoroughly be enjoyed. I think it's the best super. I think it beat Spider-Man, beat Batman. It's beaten everything for me personally.
Beat Batman?
Yes. And Batman was really good, because I thought the new Batman was more disheveled, and he was more of a, you know, Batman's tortured anyway, but even more so tortured.
I know it's that DC Marvel. Is there a big DC Marvel beef?
I don't think so.
Like, if you like Marvel, are you not allowed to like DC?
Well, DC is a lot darker. They use profanity. There's a lot of drug use in it. Like, DC will go uber super dark, and like in the ways that, like,
I just don't know how cool it is to cross streams when you're talking about comic book franchises and comic book companies.
I don't cross streams so, ever.
to each their own, Snoop. But no, so like these, if you're talking about comic book characters, I go DC because Batman's my favorite comic book character. No question.
Okay.
And like I've liked the Avengers movies when I've seen them. I liked Black Panther. Like, there's been so many that I can't think about how, like, if I've seen all of them or how far behind am I? All that stuff. So basically, but you're telling me I can just go watch Doctor Strange.
I think that you will love
it. I don't need to have seen anything else. I can just jump in and just watch it.
Yes.
All right, I might.
And I didn't mean, I saw the text, and I don't normally read it. But yeah, I wouldn't call it Little Field, because it's a littler field. I don't know, maybe I was. That's what I was thinking of. But yeah, McCombs.
Think about the Littlefield Fountain, Littlefield Drive. It's Clyde Littlefield, Texas Relays.
Okay.
It can be top of mind for you. It's okay. We eventually got you to the right destination, Snoop. That's all that matters. Speaking of the right destination, Longhorn fans hope that the right destination for Arch Manning winds up being the 40 acres. And
Jeff Howe's Longhorn Notebook.
Thank you for that interstitial, Snoop. Pretty big recruiting news drop that's Arch Manning related, not Arch Manning specific. But Alabama picked up a verbal commitment today from Eli Holstein, four-star quarterback out of the state of Louisiana. So what does that mean for Arch Manning and the Texas Longhorns? I will read this verbatim from my colleague Mike Roach at Horns 24/7. As we head into a wait, I just lost my place. Sorry. Okay, there we go. This is from Mike Roach, and you can get this at Horns 24/7. I'd expect Manning to cancel his visit to Alabama that was originally scheduled for the weekend of June 10th following his June 3rd trip to Georgia and preceding his June 17th trip to Austin. The question is if Manning will choose to fill that date, June 10th, the June 10th date, with another school. Though Texas, Georgia, and Alabama have been talked about most, Manning is also communicating with Florida, LSU, and Virginia, where he took a late spring visit. If he does decide to fill that date, Florida could be the favorite to get it with new head coach Billy Napier. So that's what Mike Roach is expecting. He's expecting Arch Manning to cancel the Alabama visit, with Alabama now on the board with a quarterback in 2022 with Eli Holstein. Could potentially cancel the Alabama visit and maybe fill it, if he does cancel it and fill it with another school, could be Florida as the school to watch there in the race for Arch Manning. I mentioned this earlier, but at 24/7 Sports, our transfer portal rankings for the 2022 cycle have been updated. Three Longhorns among the 24 best transfers in this portal cycle. Quinn Ewers at number 2, Isaiah Nayer at number 20, Jaleel Billingsley at number 24. You've also got Ryan Watts just outside the top 100, and then Tariq Milton is a little further down the list. But again, you can get my thoughts on Tariq Milton, Texas adding him yesterday out of the transfer portal. You can get that on the podcast page at hornfm.com, our first hour Longhorn Notebook. And don't forget tonight here on the Horn, 7 o'clock, right after Ball Don't Lie, you get the Longhorn Blitz podcast. Myself, Matt Butler, and Rod Babers will be talking about Tariq Milton. We'll be talking about a lot of the stuff we've talked about today in relation to the Longhorns, the portal, etc., including I got to pick Rod's brain, Snoop, about a defensive topic that I, depending on how the conversation goes on the Blitz podcast, might have to bring it back in here on Thursday, assuming we have a show on Thursday, which we may not have a show on Thursday because, well, if Texas loses, they're playing at 9 a.m. on Thursday. So that would mean, once again, no show for us, and you can have the day off, and I can just work from home. But I digress. Hopefully we are in here having a show with the three of us. It'll be Craig via the Miracle of Comrex on Thursday if Texas wins tomorrow. And again, 8:45 on the air time, 9 o'clock with the first pitch for the Longhorns and the Cowboys from Globe Life Field in Arlington. Again, Longhorn Blitz podcast tonight here on the Horn right after Ball Don't Lie is done at 7. And we will be back after the break to put this edition of Light the Tower bed.
Can I make something right but before we go to break?
Because Thorndale, you go right ahead, Snoop.
No, because Thorndale, I want to show y'all love. The softball team, game one is Wednesday. It's tomorrow. They'll be playing in Mumford against Weimer. So there. I care.
Mumford is kind of College Station area, I think. That sounds right to me.
Mumford and Sons, that's all I know.
Remember, they were in the state basketball tournament, the boys, Mumford boys, where Aubrey King is like one of the all-time state scoring leaders in the history of Texas high school basketball. It's the only reason I know about Mumford. So, anyway, thank you, Snoop, for showing the small schools some love, of course.
I'm trying.
As Craig mentions all the time on the show, I am a proud graduate of Florence High School. I do appreciate when the small schools get some love, except for Gerald. You get no love in the very northern portions of Williamson County.
Blue crew.
But I digress. We'll be back to wrap up this edition of Light the Tower on the Horn, live, local, and digital on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.
Congrats to Texas.